tell you about Windman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hey guys, it's a December episode of the Questions of the Month. Woo! Kapow! Kapow! See, that one's fireworks because we're recording this on the 31st, and later tonight, and in some parts of the country, it's already 2018.
You're going to say 17.
I had to stop and think for a second. So I will miss last year was a really, really good start and end of the year, because the first video I ever watched was that video from the African movie makers put to 2016. And the last video, I timed it perfectly, was I watched that video one more time. And 2017, I don't think I really had any dank meme like that I could do that with. So I'm a little disappointed with that, but let's end this year properly with the questions of the month. Let's just wham bam thank you ma'am.
We should have done something special, like questions of the year, some stupid shit.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, this one's from Hayden. Besides things that you've already talked about in the podcast, like Homestuck, Star Fox, Paper Mario, what are some other things that you're a really big fan of or that you want to suggest that the listeners check out? For example, Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast.
Well, I'm a huge, super, duper, mega, turbo fan of Knights into Dreams and Knights Journey of Dreams. I wouldn't call it a series because it's just two fucking games, but I really, really, really like Knights. As anyone who's like been in the Discord has probably mentioned, I got shitloads of fucking Knights merchandise all over my fucking room and shit. Some would call it an obsession. I highly suggest checking that out.
Podcast-wise? I am a huge, huge fan of Last Podcast on the Left. I am also a fan of Pseudopod and that whole section of their like short stories. That's where I first listened to At the Mountains of Madness, which is an H.P. Lovecraft short, quote unquote, story. It was like 3 fucking hours. Similar to Alex, I have 1, 2, 3. I have 4 instances of Team Fortress 2 in my room. Play TF2 if you haven't played it already. It's one of the best games ever made. So check that out. That's our quick little wachow shout out shit. So I guess we'll go ahead and we'll go on over this question 2 there. This is from Maswati 3 or Maswati the 3rd. What is the worst monster girl?
No, when he says monster, does he just mean like type or specifically a character from Monster Musume?
The worst monster girl. I assume either or.
That one has an objective answer. So I'm gonna go off the encyclopedia. The sandworm. She's just the fucking vor fantasy. The end.
Now, is the sandworm from that? Because I'm not a fucking degenerate, not publicly. Is it just the worm from Dune, where it's got like a worm body and it's just got a human head?
No, it is literally like, say like the Doom worm, which is just a worm, but its tongue is where the actual like body is, you know, Alaskan bullworm style. The tongue is like a sexy anime girl. The thing is that it eats you, finger quotes, and you just fuck its tongue for like the rest of your life. You're just inside of it forever. It's just a vor fantasy.
Man, I don't, you know, I'm starting to get a weird feeling that the Monster Girl Encyclopedia is just some kind of, like fetish thing.
Really? You wouldn't, wow, the Monster Girl thing's a fetish thing? Wow, what a fucking shocker, Ted. Oh, man, the grass is fucking green, too, right? Yeah, oh, woo, whoop-de-fuckity-doo. Woo, oh, man, you're so fucking smart. Wow, you figured it out, Ted, you cracked the fucking code. Aw, oh, dude, you know that fucking, like, new Sherlock Holmes show where he's, like, thinking and, like, fucking diagrams, like, flying by in words? That's you right now. You figured it out. Kill yourself. Next question.
All right. The worst Monster Girl is... I'm going to agree, that sandworm one sounds pretty dumb. All right, next question here. This is from Chris. What's a game that everyone loves, but you personally can't fucking stand?
Oh!
Alex, like, we both already have these, like... Okay. I'll let you do yours first.
Okay. Now, there's a lot. But there's one in particular.
Just choose one.
Yeah. There's one. One in particular. Because, like, this is one that I know for a fact everybody loves and I couldn't stand. And I just played it this year. No. No, I don't hate the Gabe Cuphead, fuckboy. We've already been over that. I hate his popularity. I'm a super mega hipster about Cuphead right now. But we'll get into that another day. Fucking, Final Fantasy Dissidia. I actually think everyone is fucking with me that they like this game. I refuse to believe people like it. So here's the thing. Here's how Final Fantasy Dissidia played. It is a fighter ? Where when you hit an attack button, your character, whichever fucking Final Fantasy villain or hero you're playing as, will like swing his sword, spin around, land, pull out his hand, wipe the sweat off his brow, say, "Whew, I really felt that," and then you'll be able to play again. Everything is so like slow paced, I'm gonna use that meme word, clunky and deliberate. It feels awful. It feels like, you know how the dinosaurs died in that big tar pit, slowly sinking into a big slow thing of quicksand while also burning to death at the same time? That's what Final Fantasy Dissidia plays like. Like slowly dying / burning in a tar pit. Like, I actually cannot understand. Like, I played the fucking beta because I was at Evo. I get the beta paper thing, let me get a code and play the game. Now I'm like, let's try this game out. I'm not a big Final Fantasy fan, so like I played like two fucking Final Fantasy. I played 3 and 10. Like, I don't really care. I get in there, and I attack once. I play as Bartz. The name's Bartz. And I fucking, there's little voice lines you can spam, like Team Fortress 2 style. And you can spam the greeting, and Bartz's greeting is, "The name's Bartz." In Japan, his name is Butts, so it's even funnier. So, I play the game, I attack once, he, like, flies, because he can, like, fly. He, like, everyone can. He like, flies forward in the air, like, Superman style, spins around like a whoosh, like, fucking punch, and then slowly descends down. And I just said, "Oh, man, this game feels like shit." Like, I knew immediately upon picking it up I wasn't gonna like this game. And I played it for, like, a couple hours. Just like, "Oh my god, these controls suck so bad. Why is the tutorial like a 10-minute video that doesn't let me play? This is a lot of words. Oh, Jesus Christ, this is all so fucking dumb and stupid." But I hated
Alex,
every single bit about
Alex,
it. But
it's
shut
a beta.
Shut your fucking mouth. The thing that pisses me off the most about it is, I don't care if it's this bad and clunky. I played Garshash the Monster Slayer as a joke. Haha, who cares? But it's that this game is so, so popular and has been, like, re-released and updated for, like, a decade that all I can think of is everyone else in the world is wrong and they are specifically fucking with me to make me upset in 2017 that I would play the game and not like it and be confused.
You see, the game that I played it. I played something that wasn't a fucking beta. It's Diablo. I tried playing Diablo. I played it with my older brother and I'm like, This isn't very fun. I'm just running around spamming buttons and killing things and getting, "Oh man, I got fat loot. Let me stop to equip this 17 times in a match until I just stopped." And it's like, "Oh man, check out all this fat loot." And is this it? And then I'm like, "Oh, it goes up to hard mode times 7. Okay, let's put it up to hard mode times 2. Okay, this is still just kind of mindlessly smashing buttons. I've had enough of this." I played Diablo 2 and I played Diablo 3. I did have some fun with Diablo 3 by playing the voodoo guy, because his basic attack was you just like send out 8 different fucking frogs that just hop around. They don't do anything. They're just there and they hop around and they touch enemies. But Diablo just feels like a lame grind fest. And I'm like, this isn't very fun. It's like playing my friend, I don't remember which one, he described Borderlands as playing Microsoft Excel and opening up a spreadsheet to document like all of your different loot drops to pick the best one. He's like, "This is the fucking lamest shit." That's what it felt like to me. So those are hardcore controversial opinions. Make sure that you complain about them in the comments. All right, next question here. This is from Spade. Which one of you is the comedy duo straight man? Which one of you is the comedy duo oddball in your opinions?
Yes.
Now, somehow, I don't know how it fucking happened, but I became the straight man. Like, I am the oddball, but I guess between the two of us, I end up getting played off as the straight man.
Well, because you know who I am, Tad. You had to understand once you said, hey, Alex, let's do a podcast, that you had to fucking ring me in, because I'm just going to say whatever I want.
Yep. Those controversial opinions about Dissidia.
And then Cuphead, the boyhood of video games.
But I don't know how it happened, because I'm pretty... I don't know if you listen to Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons Real Play podcast, but, like, I'm a pretty wacky guy, but somehow I end up being the person that jokes get played off of, and it's weird. It's a weird flip. I don't know why it's that. I think it's just because you're too... Compared to me, you're the wacky one. You know?
Yeah. Well, what else do you want me to say, fuckboy? I agree.
I don't know. I didn't expect the fucking yeah. Anyway... Next question. This one's from Aaron. Hey guys, I'm just wondering, what is your favorite ice cream brand and flavor? And do you prefer it with or without toppings? Thank you and have a very good day. Well, thank you, Aaron. My favorite ice cream, let me start off by saying the absolute worst ice cream I've ever had in my life. I was with my grandma and we were going to like some big mall. And when we went there, we stopped at Dairy Queen, and this was around the time of the live-action Scooby-Doo movie. So they had a promotional ice cream.
I'm sorry, I just remembered how shitty that movie was. Keep going.
They had an ice cream that was like a mystery swirl, and it was a vanilla Blizzard, but they had these sprinkles in it that were like Pop Rocks. That tainted all of the ice cream around them. And I remember eating it and grimacing, and it was the worst thing I've ever had in my life. But I had to eat it because my grandma spent $8 on it because she got me the largest size when I just wanted like a small. But I had to like grin and bear it, and it was the worst. But my favorite ice cream, I prefer vanilla without toppings.
Funny enough, it's actually the same thing I do. I just like vanilla ice cream. And I like chocolate syrup on it, and that's pretty much it. When it comes to ice cream, like I like plenty of flavors, but vanilla is just the one that I always just like go to eat. I don't even eat that much fucking ice cream, you know. I'm fucking old as shit. I don't really want to eat that much ice cream anymore.
I'm old as shit, quoth the man who is in his early 20s.
Hey man, hey, I had a gray hair in my beard, and no one believes me. I knew I should have fucking left it in there. I already know that I'm getting old. Dude, if I didn't shave my head, I'd legitimately be widow's peaking. Like, I could see the fucking skin where that hair used to be there. Like, I'm like, we're starting to die, Ted. We're getting there. We're getting old.
I'm hopefully a fourth, maybe a third, if I'm real lucky, of the way to dying myself. So we'll see what happens. Also, sprinkles are the worst because you're just putting sugar on top of it and it just tastes like shit. Next question. This one's from Stupid Geeks, and this is one that we'll have to retroactively answer because this has already passed in this month. What are your foolproof plans to guard yourself from the Krampus this year? Now, we talked about Krampus last questions of the month, the one for November. We talked about Ultra Instinct Krampus versus Santa Claus, where we couldn't get Santa Claus out of our fucking house. So I guarded myself against Krampus this year. I made sure to cause just enough mischief. I would message Alex and say, hey, don't look at this. And then I would type at Alex on Discord, you know, get that little bit of mischief that Krampus needs to be like, hey, you're doing good. You're staying in that morally dubious gray area. And then he would give me like a wooden shoe full of like M&Ms or something. I don't remember exactly what Krampus does.
Okay. So my mischief was actually pretty easy, but just as devilish. So I was playing, I hopped on Battle Right the other day and it said, press any key to continue. And I hit the power button.
Did you actually do that?
No, you fucking idiot. It's a joke. Next question.
All right. This one's from Mitochondria. A gun is to your head. You have to make a choice.
Ah, great.
A, Electronic Arts takes over your favorite video game and watches they destroy it. Or B, you're stuck playing ad-filled Android games for the rest of your life. What will you choose?
I'll take the first one. Like if they take my favorite game series and kill it, I could just go play other games. That's a shitty fucking question.
I do agree that it's kind of lopsided. But in my side, I mean, my favorite video game series is Paper Mario. That got shat on already. And then secondary favorite would, I guess, by default be Hive Swap. That game's already a steaming pile of shit. Plus, so I'm already living that option A, baby.
Plus, yeah, what he said, everything I love is already dead. Like I just mentioned earlier, Knights is two games in like a 20-year span. That thing's dead. Star Fox died again. You know, again. What do I have that is like still like Earthworm Jim died forever ago? Fucking Zenoclash has like two games. I guess they would take over Kirby. They would buy Kirby from Nintendo and make fucking Kirby loot boxes, where instead of getting Kirby's regular power, you swipe your credit card for 99 cents and a randomized thing pops down and either gives you the wheel power or like the jet power or some stupid shit. There, yeah, that's it. The only thing that I have left that's still alive is Kirby. They would ruin Kirby. But I'll live because, you know what? I have other games to play than just Kirby.
So, next question here is from Flower. What's the worst Christmas present you've ever given someone? Now, I've got two, and they were in the past 2 years. So, 2 years ago, I think I sent you, and I sent Michael and Dan a Christmas card that when you open it, it just plays Jingle Bells, but it gets louder and louder and louder, and it never stops.
Yeah, I had to rip that thing out.
He ended up ripping it in half and throw it away.
Yes.
And then this year, I got my little brother, who fell off a cliff and fucked up his hip, I got him a hula hoop. My older brother was going to buy him. Hold on. My older brother, Zach, is going to buy him Rock Climbing for Dummies.
Like, you can tell he's okay, otherwise they wouldn't do that, but fuck yeah. I imagine he's in the hospital. Like, the way I picture it is if you don't know that he's okay, I picture him, like, crippled from the neck down, like, million-dollar baby style, with where her family came in with, like, Disney gear on because they didn't give a fuck about her. It's just like, hey there, Tim Tam, looks like you fucked up your hip real good. Here's a hula hoop. Hey, and he like finger gun away.
Literally what I did when I saw him in the hospital, I said, oh, Tim, I hope you had a nice trip. I heard it's pretty nice up there in the fall. This is before I knew that he was okay. So like he could have like fucked up his hip and been crippled. But I made sure to make that joke before I knew.
The worst Christmas present I ever sent somebody was I bought this piece of shit guy named Tad this awful game called Dragon's Dogma that he should play. I don't think I've ever really bought anything bad for anybody because I'm not a fucking monster.
Okay. You did buy me Knights, and I have yet to play it 5 years later.
We're going to mention this episode is just going to be how much can we say fucking Knights is a good game in this fucking episode. Fucking, you'll play it one day. One day, like, I'm going to die, and you're going to feel bad. You're going to, like, think about playing it and then not play it.
No, because I'll think about playing it back. Oh, you know, maybe I should have played Knights. After all, he got me it as a gift. And then I'll remember this piece of shit never played Leighton versus Wright. And then I'll be like, it's fine.
First off,
it's
I
karma.
Played it. I beat the first case. I wasn't sucked into this game because I don't want to play a visual novel right now. Tad, I've grown past visual novels.
I have ascended. Okay, next question. This is from Lores the Ninth. What's the most awesome and most terrible present you've ever been given for Christmas?
Okay, so, that one's easy. I got one. Because it's from you, piece of shit. So, we mentioned this awful fucking game called Ugonbrin that was made on Gaiman.us, which is pretty much just a malware site. Don't go there, people. It had that stupid song with the annoying blue guy with big eyebrows about Arizona green tea and Tic Tacs and yada yada yada. We've done the whole thing in a previous episode. So one Christmas, Ted visits me in Idaho fucking 4-something years ago. He comes out here, he's just like, here's your Christmas present, fuck boy. Gives me a big thing of Arizona green tea and orange Tic Tacs. Literally only, he got me like the cheapest gift ever, but only I would get that joke. So it was like the most meaningful gift ever. Oh, also, he got me Imagine Horses, the fucking, like, PC game, but when you open up, it was actually a PS2 copy of Secret Service, an awful first-person shooter game I got for $5 at GameStop, like, 5 years prior.
Legitimately, I forgot about that.
He got me a gift that, like, again, was cheap as fuck. It was probably, like, $5 altogether, but it was about the meaning behind that gift. Because that was just pure, like, hey, Alex, here's a bunch of those jokes you told me, like, a bunch of years that I still remember and hold close to my heart. Then I was like, aww. And then I spit out the Arizona green tea, because I hate green tea.
It was Arizona green tea with ginseng and honey.
That's right.
The best present I ever got? I don't know. I can't think of any good games that I've ever gotten from anyone, you know?
Especially this year.
I'm trying to think of, like, I will say that there has only been two Secret Santas I've ever participated in, which I did not get totally fucked. One of them was just recently with Team Fortress 2, where I got some pretty sick hats, and the other one was, like, a Homestuck Skype group, and I ended up throwing away all of the stuff that she got me when I moved, because I was like, oh, yeah, I probably should have kept that, but I just kind of threw it in, like, a pile.
How appreciative of you.
I forgot. What, I don't sue me. I was living in Tim's mom's basement, Tim. Or Alex.
Wow, rude. How appreciative of you, Ted.
Anyway, one of the best presents I've ever been given was 1 year... Yeah, that's right. That's right. 1 year, I just, like, fucked up my computer desk. I was like, oh, man, this sucks. I was playing fucking Team Fortress 2 on the cement floor of someone's house, and then my mom got me a desk. I was like, oh, hell yeah. But besides that, I can't think of any, like, super... off the tip of my tongue, I can't think of any super, super great gifts that I've been given. So step it up, people. There's still time.
PayPal.me. Next PayPal.me.
PayPal.me/LMTYA. Next question from Brad. B is for the bodaciousness that Brad brings to this scene, and he's asking, how would you protect your home in a Home Alone-style burglary? So if the Sticky Bandits... is it the Sticky Bandits or the Slick Bandits?
I can answer that one pretty quickly. I have a gun, right?
Them, like, this is the fifth house that they tried to go into. Like, they went into my house and, like, they fucking, like, tried going in there and their feet got wrapped on my Ethernet cord that's all over my floor and, like, went whoa and, like, fell down the staircase. They're like, okay, let's get ready for this guy's house. They climb the staircase and they're just Merry Christmas. Okay, so you just fucking shoot him.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, fuck this. I'm not here to play these games. I'm not Jigsaw. I have a gun.
So after Alex commits murder in his house, we've got our next question.
It's self-defense.
This is from Violet Neon. Let me set the scene. The year is 2022. You wake up and see it's Elder Scrolls V Skyrim on your Elder Scrolls V console. You get in your Elder Scroll to go to work, and Todd Howard's there, where you're in charge of designing the new Elder Scrolls so people can play the new Elder Scrolls.
What does it have to do with...
I probably should have read this one. I don't know if it's going anywhere. You see your boss, Todd, walking down the Elder Scrolls towards you. You haven't finished your Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim 2. Do Elder Scrolls or Elder Scrolls? How do you get out of this situation?
You have to buy his game. That's how you get out.
That's it. It's like a text-based adventure game where Todd approaches you. What do you do? Your options are buy game, sell game, go Dennis. The proper answer is to buy a game. If you sell it, he'll just cut you. He'll eat you. It'll be like that game where you're eaten by a Gru. If you go Dennis, that's how you unlock the secret path. Speaking of Dennis, Homestar Runner is a fucking great TV web cartoon. Every time I think of a Homestar Runner quote, it's the SpongeBob of internet stuff. Where there's just so many small bullshits that you can just sneak into anywhere. Like, go Dennis. I can put that in anything.
It's kind of like how I put this dick at the end of anything. Like, Dennis. Like, oh, Dennis this dick.
Good one, Rick.
What's the next question?
This one's from Jaden K. What is the dumbest assignment or project a teacher has ever made you do? For my astronomy class in high school.
I got one. Okay, for my astronomy.
Yeah, let me do mine first, because I don't think mine's that good.
Fine.
Had to make a model of the solar system, and everyone had to choose a planet. I just shot my hand up and said Pluto, because it was the smallest one. And so all I did was I went to Walmart, and I bought, like, a foam ball, and I just grinded it with my hands for, like, 30 minutes until it was the size of a golf ball, painted it blue, put it on a toothpick, and said, boom, done. I got an A+ on that.
Okay, so mine's actually funny. So check this out. So remember that story I told about my substitute teacher that we all made fun of because he was dumb and weird?
The man who stole Woody?
Yes. So the dumbest project we ever had was the day after Mr. DeForty. It was the day after when my teacher came back. We're cutting that out. We're not saying his name because he'll get in trouble fucking like 5 years later. When he came back and we were all talking about how much we hated him. So he made us write a paper about how much we hated him. We all gave presentations in the class about how much we hated our teacher. Our project was to bully this poor man.
That's kind of fucked up. That's
yeah,
like,
but this happened. This is anyone who was in that class fucking could back me up on this. He just had us write it down. And we didn't not everybody went up to present, but like a good like 5 or 6 of us did, and I was one of them. Because I opened it up with, come on down to Big Al's Toy Barn, where everything's a buck, buck, buck.
That reminds me, one of my math teachers at my high school, he gave such a... Okay, here's how his class would go. He would start grading the homework and then collect it so that people would just cheat off of that and get A's so that he would be able to keep his position as the math teacher. He didn't give a single fuck, ever. He never bothered to teach you the material. He would just give you the answers and shit.
What a great teacher.
Oh, it gets even better. This piece of shit dude. So one of my friends, he's not a poet. I'll tell you that right now. One of my friends, he's not a poet. But he wrote this, like, love letter to this girl. And so she, like, reads it. She, like, has him. The teacher has this girl go up in front of the class and read this love note and then makes fun of this kid. He wasn't in the class, but he just started making fun of this kid. And they name dropped him too. Like, he didn't keep it anonymous. I'm like, I was considering, like, I could get this asshole fired, but is it worth putting a target on my back? Because this is the math class that you go, and then you don't have to actually do math. You know, this is the math class that people get put into.
You could take the moral, you could take the morally correct option. We could also take your easy A.
Yeah, because I'm like, I can take an easy A, or I can report this dude, get his ass fired, and then if people find out, because this dude seems like the kind of asshole who would like tell other kids who got him in trouble and shit if he found out.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm painting a giant like kill me mark on the on my back. So I ended up, I just like, yeah, what a fucking asshole. I think I left like an I wrote like an anonymous tip and put it in like, hey, this dude's a fucking cunt. I gave it to like the tip thing at the school. I don't remember his name.
I actually reminds me of this funny little like story I read about a kid who was in like first grade who he was the most alpha kid I've ever heard in my life. It was this girl came up to him and gave him a love letter. But he didn't know what it was because he was only in like first grade. So he thought it was a piece of he thought it was like a piece of homework. So he spell checked it and handed it back to her.
Oh,
fucking alpha is fuck.
Man, okay. Hey, speaking of alpha, this one's from Motion. Should Riot use those Rising Thunder devs to make a League fighting game?
That's what I thought they were doing. Like, why else would they buy them? You know.
Because Rising Thunder's whole gimmick was it's a fighting game that has an incredibly low barrier of entry because it uses Super Smash Brothers style inputs for supers and shit.
No. That was the whole gimmick, Super right? Smash Brothers styles of inputs. In Super Smash Brothers, you still tilt name and shit. Like, Rising Thunder is just buttons. You just use buttons to activate special moves, and they have little cooldowns as if they were abilities.
And I played it a little bit. I played as the Russian robot.
Everyone did. Really, he's the fucking looking guy.
What's his name? Ivan or something?
I don't know. The game sucked.
But yeah, and then they were bought up because they spent a bunch of money promoting it at like Evo 2014 or something. They had the little, just like this year at Evo, they had that crappy Smash Brothers clone. I think it was called Icons.
Yeah,
they were showing off. And yeah, they showed it off all year at that Evo, and then Riot bought them and never did anything. I saw somewhere recently that Arxis went to visit Riot Games. I don't know if that's true or if that's anything. I don't even know if that is true. I mean, I can see Riot trying to do some dumb shit like that, but they're not going to do it.
Okay.
They're not going to do it unless they can find a way to make serious profit off it, because fighting games are a very niche genre. You can't casually get into a fighting game to the extent that people can just play League of Legends, you know? You have to actually put in time to learn combos and shit like that, because a fighting game is 1v1. If you lose in a fighting game, it's your fault for playing like shit. It's not because your vein fed 13 times. You know, you can't shove the blame off onto other people.
Okay, so like, we actually had this conversation with a bunch of my friends who play League of Legends shit. Excuse me. And I was just trying to think, like, if they were to make a League of Legends fighter, let's just say, like, hypothetically, they actually make the Rising Thunder with a League skin over, right? What would be the three characters you want in the most?
Blitzcrank for sure. Blitzcrank would be a grappler.
That's a fair one.
I would love to see Vigor in as a zoner.
See, I think they wouldn't use Vigor, but keep going.
I mean, they have fucking Yoda in Soul Calibur, so size does not matter.
It's true. But again, it's just who you want, so keep going.
I'm trying to think of another character that they would probably put in there. I think Graves. I think those three.
If I could think of, I'm trying to think of, like, not so much the range champions, but I'm trying to think of melee characters would be the easiest one, right? Like, I think that Garen would be in for sure, easy, right? Who, like, he's gonna be in there and just be the fucking regular, like, he's gonna be the Ryu, right? Like,
yeah, well, Lee Sin's gonna be the Ryu.
Oh yeah, Lee Sin's in. Fucking done. Lee Sin and Udyr, who are the two martial artists.
Look at the list of characters. All of the ones that are from Ionia, immediately included. Don't even bother to look at them. They're definitely going to be in the
game. Why don't you just call it, like, perfect. Just the Ionian sparring arena match, parentheses, League of Legends. League of Ionia. League of Ionian fighters from the Legends of League. And it's just fucking, it's just all the fucking Ionian champs. And they all fight and shit. Yeah, there you go. The three characters that I would want in the most would be, as much as I hate fighting her in-game, I would actually want Riven in, because Riven would be easy. She would be a Rekka character. It's where you do, like, a fighting input. Like, you know, the old Fei Long, how he has his punch, and you can do the input two more times, so he'll do two more punches, doing three in total. Riven has her three little hops. You have her three little hops, and her third one would be, like, an overhead attack. Fighting games. I would really, really want, let's see, who would be a good, Zach. Zach would be great in that game.
Oh, he would be like Boo, where he's got the stretchy limbs and shit. Mm-hmm. I think that would be fine. I'd be okay with that.
And a third character that I would really, really want in, if you know, hypothetically this game would ever exist.
Alex, can I guess what it's going to be before you say it?
Sure.
Goku.
No, it'll be, if the game will come out, it'll be the cross-promotion material. It'd be like featuring a unique fighter, and then it would fucking fly into his little, like, thumbs up, just like, hey, you got some room for me? And he would just, like, start fighting fucking, like, and he would just start beating the shit out of Ash.
I would, like, okay, I'll tell you right now, because look at modern fighting games. You have to have a gimmick. If you're Injustice, you got the motherfucking Ninja Turtles. If you're Tekken, you got fucking Noctis, and you got, the Geese Howard. You gotta have a gimmick now. What does the Riot game have? Jumps down, and it's Goku.
No. But Ted, it's a cross-promotion thing. So Goku's in the League of Legends fighter, and then new champion announced, and Goku just flies on in on Nimbus. Like, it's like Teen Goku. So he can't be too powerful, you know?
What it is, Alex, it's a Kid Goku skin for Wukong, where they just stretched his proportions out.
Fucking my third character, fucking Christ, who the hell else could, like, just put it Lee Sin, fuck it. Because as much as I hate him, he's a perfect fit for the game. There. Next question.
This one's from Nicole. What is your favorite movie snacks? Now, Alex, I think I know yours because I saw you do it and it actually disgusted me.
What did I do?
We went to see the Civil War movie, I think. And you went in there, you fucking walked in there with, like, snow caps, and you were just downing them.
Well, they're not even my favorite. I just kind of wanted them because I haven't had them in a long time. And by the way,
they're fucking gross.
By the way, the Chad way to watch a movie in a movie theater. Take off your shoes, put your feet on the seats in front of you.
See, okay, I agree with taking off your shoes, but don't put them on the seat in front of you. Don't be an asshole.
There is no one in the row of, in front of us, so I stand by the Chad viewing.
the virgin admiration, the Chad viewing. And it's just the virgin me is just like me. I'm sitting down in my chair, back straight, head crouched down so the people below me can watch the movie as well. My legs are in a proper seating position. I'm only using one cup holder. You're using both cup holders. You got your shoes off, feet up there. You're making shadow puppets on the fucking projector.
Okay. The actual, excuse me. The actual best movie theater snack is motherfucking Skittles. Sour or normal, don't matter, Skittles.
Okay, here, side note. The first time I ever went to my dad's, he went to like a grocery store and bought the, you know how there's a box that they rip the top off of and then they put those on the shelves? My dad bought the entire box of sour Skittles. And I remember because they had a promotion for the Star Wars prequels where you could enter and try to win like a Wookiee suit or something. But I ate like 36 bags of Skittles over that 2 week period. But also, my preferred movie snack is, I'm going to go with, because popcorn's obviously, we're not including popcorn, because that's the easiest answer.
That's the bingo free space.
Yeah. I get Mike and Ike's. No. Jujubes. Jujubes are the best for a movie. Because they're the small little things, you can easily sneak them into the movie theater, and they're tasty. That's all you really need. You need something that's easy to steal, or not steal, but sneak in, and something that will last you an entire, like, 3 hour long Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King movie, and something that tastes nice and fruity to combat your cherry Pepsi and your fucking popcorn. So, all right, next question here. This is from Jonah. He says, Tad, if you still play Magic the Gathering, what is your preferred deck or colors? Also, Alex is the only other person I've ever heard who has mentioned Metal Arms glitch in the system. And for that, I tip my hat to him.
Hey.
So my preferred deck and colors, my favorite deck to play is my Goblins. Just mono red, just fucking throw them at you. If I don't win by turn 4, the game's over.
Oh, so it's like Pirates at Hearthstone.
It's just like that. It's like, just go hard in the fucking... I have 20 lands in that deck, Alex. That means 2/3 of my deck are not lands, which is not good. You should have more lands than 20.
Do you know how many spells Pirate Warrior ran before it stopped becoming meta?
How many?
None.
What?
It used to run a spell called Mortal Strike, which was a... You attack somebody and you do 4 damage. You just target either a minion or a hero. But if you're below like 12 health, it'll do 6 damage instead. But that was removed out of rotation because the expansion just became old. So they just didn't run any spells. They just run minions and weapons. And they just ungood really, really hard into the opponent. If they didn't win by turn 5, they just surrendered.
See, yeah, so I my Goblin deck became so known because the meta... For the modern, because I would only take it to modern, because that's the only format I could actually play it in, because there were cards from really, really old sets. And the meta then was to play like combo heavy decks. So people would have like exile this creature, and then your opponent gets a land, and like counter this card. But I'm playing Goblins, so like, okay, you countered my one cost Goblin. I'm going to play the exact same card again. And oh, you killed my dude and you gave me a land. I now have two land at turn one. I'm going to play a huge, crazy, strong goblin. Give him haste. I hit you twice. I now have Krenko, Goblin Chieftain. Tap Krenko. At turn two, at the end of my fucking turn, I have 8/2/2 goblins. Like, you fucked up, buddy. It got to the point where there was this one dude. I slapped his, like, it was a hardcore modern deck. Like, it was like $1,600 because he had really, really strong lands. And he got so mad in his sideboard. He had like 8 cards that were just like 2 white mana, destroy all goblins. Just to fuck me over. But goblins is my preferred deck archetype. And my favorite colors are blue and black because Dimir is really, really fun. And they're the super, super sneaky boys.
And Metal Arms Glitch in the System is a really, really good game.
All right, next question here is from Pigeon Master. If you were in Ted Bundy's car, how would you escape? Now, Alex, you're not a fucking weirdo like I am, so you don't know who Ted Bundy is.
Isn't he that serial killer dude that fucking Dennis from Zunindit Philadelphia is based off of?
Maybe. He's like a real he was this guy that was pretty handsome. That
and
was
charming,
like his weird
and
gimmick.
Was actually a sociopathic. Yeah. And I know about Ted Bundy.
Yeah, and he like went into like a college and beat a bunch of girls to death with a log.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're trapped in this guy's car. So my scenario is like I'm homeless in this scenario, and I went into his car to take a quick nap because it's really cold outside. And so he's driving, and he doesn't notice me yet. So the way that I get out of his car is I reach into my pocket, I take out my hobo lighter, and I light his log on fire, and then his car starts burning, and I can only hope that he realizes, oh shit, and then parks the car so I can get out and run real, real, real fast. Or I take his log and hold it hostage so that I can run away, and I throw the log back at him and keep on sprinting.
Okay, so I have actually a pretty easy way to escape him. So I've got a gun.
You got
this guy called Ted Bundy, he brought me over here to into his car, and luckily I had my pieces on me. Your pieces? My guns! Dude, guns are the problem solver.
That's the best scenario. It's way more logical than me taking his log and trying to run away with it. So, that's how we get out of Ted Bundy's car. Next question, this is from Scrubby, aka X_Cunt_Destroyer_XX. And his question is, how many dicks could Mia fit in her mouth? And what I have to say to you, Scrimmy, is we already went over this. She has a detachable jaw, so she can fit in as many as she needs. So next question is from Tim, the Tool Man Taylor. This one's for Alex. How exactly did you get into Fate, and are you excited about announced future projects in the series? Also, you are a nerd.
Okay, so once upon a time, hanging out in my random other Discords, where my friends were posting pictures of cute anime girls and shit, I saw one that, at the time, I thought was a humanized version of a pony. And I was like, oh, well, I have a friend who likes MLP, he'll probably like that. So I grabbed that picture, sent it to him. He then sends me, holy shit, don't you ever post that to me ever again. Do you know who that is? I'm just like, it's a humanized pony? Question mark? And he's like, no, you fucking idiot. That's Paul Bunyan. And I'm like, what? I'm like, say what? So he tells me about Fate, and they turn Paul Bunyan into a little girl. And I like Paul Bunyan, the real Paul Bunyan, I mean. Because what happened is, when I was a little kid, I think it was a Boomerang or Disney Channel or something, I watched that really, really old Paul Bunyan cartoon that came out in 1959, where it's just the American folktales like animated, and it's just Paul Bunyan. Because the very end of that movie pissed me off so much, and to this day, because what happens is, in the movie, it's the story of Paul Bunyan. He's just chopping down trees, hanging out with his big blue ox and everything. But then there's this evil, sneaky guy with a mustache and a top hat who shows up with a chainsaw and cuts a tree down faster. And he's like, you see, with this, we'll make logging jobs way easier, and we don't need oxen anymore, because we've got these locomotive trains to bring everything in. It was basically just fear industrialization. And Paul steps in because he's like 30 feet tall. Now hold on there, boy. My trusty axe and my ox are way better than any of your dang-gone machines. He's like, you want a race then, fuck boy? So they have a race across the entire fucking, like, coast to coast of America, logging their way through. And, like, it shows Paul, like, just taking a step, swinging, just one clean cut through. And then it takes the little guy with the hat, top hat, who was originally took, like, 5 minutes to cut that one tree. They just sped the animation up, and he's just jumping to tree and tree, like Dragon Ball Z style, cutting them all down. And so they pile them up. A guy measures them up, It's like, all right, let's see who won. Evil guy, Paul Bunyan. 1,400 feet, and everyone's like, woo, yeah, awesome, go Paul! And evil guy with top hat? 1,400 feet? Gulp. And a quarter of an inch. And then the guy, the evil guy starts, like, laughing, like, eh, and Paul Bunyan just walks away all sad and defeated. And I'm like, that's bullshit! That's not fair at all! So anyway, so then I get into Fate, and I decide to try the fucking game out, and I find a character named Edward Teach, who's Blackbeard. So Blackbeard the pirate is the world's most famous pirate that every pirate like copies and makes fun of in like media and shit, right? So in Fate, he's just a weeaboo for no reason. His biography is like in his 1 year of active time, captured the most ships and killed the most people. An evil, disgusting, like black-hearted individual. And then the last line of dialogue. And now that exact same Blackbeard has been summoned as Nerutaku. Isn't that just swell?
They had no reason.
He's just this disgusting, like lolicon weeaboo, and he's like hard in the paint. Like, he just goes in about how much of, like, a fucking disgusting pedophile he is. It's fucking hysterical. So, yeah, that's how I got into Fate. Paul Bunyan, and then Paul got me into Fate, and then I stayed for Blackbeard.
Yeah, I mean, I will never play Fate because it's anime. And as we all know, historically, I hate anime. Also, because I tried playing, I installed the game, and I opened, I think, 40 crates or whatever, just to see if I could laugh at Alex if I got something really rare, and I got the two worst, possible summons in a row.
You get Siegfried.
So, I got Siegfried and someone else who was fucking terrible. I think Stheno or something.
Stheno is, I don't think you can get Stheno in the opening one, I don't remember, but she is like one of the worst 4 stars you could get. She's terrible.
So, the penultimate question, this one's from Marchen. Have either of you ever been in a relationship? Do you have any good stories about dates gone wrong? And I have, I have one good story about a date that went wrong. And it's real short because the other ones, like, it's just normal dumb shit. But this one, I went over to their house and we had dinner, and this was the last time I ever saw her because I noped the fuck out. But we were eating dinner, everything was normal, and I don't remember what exactly he said, but her younger brother said something, and this was the same one that, Alex, when we would hang out at your house in Plainfield, I would open up my phone and I had like 16 text messages from this dude. It was that guy. That was the little brother. If you remember that.
I don't remember shit.
He would fucking message me constantly. Like, hey, do you want to hang out? And I'd be like, I'm 40 miles away, dude. Leave me alone. And shit like that. But I was at their house and we were eating dinner and he said something innocuous. Like it wasn't like an insulting thing, or it was like something akin to, could you please pass the salt? And her dad gets up, like leans over the table and slaps him really hard across the face. And I'm just like, the thought went through my mind of like, did I pass out in my mashed potatoes? Am I having a stroke? Did that just happen? And then they just ignored it, and then like we finished the thing, and then I went home and I never spoke to her again because your fucking family is crazy, lady. But that's the only funny story I have.
Just gives a big old thwack and then just continues like nothing happened. No questions asked.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck was going on.
So the only date I've ever been on, because I'm a fucking loser who fucking goes to whores, it was like when I was a fucking teenager, I took some chick to a movie who, like, after the movie said she was like a Satan worshiper and shit. I'm just like, well, I'm out of here. She just told me like all this shit about how much she like hates her dad and everything. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I still have my drink, taking a sippy. I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. So we took her home, and I just, much like you, never talked to her again.
Yo, you see, this is before the podcast. Because this happened now, I've been like, Alex, you gotta do it for the podcast. Think of all that material you could get.
You gotta stick into this bad idea, because it'll be funny, haha.
Yeah. So, last question here. This one's from Michael. Not that Michael. If both of you were stranded on a desert island, and each of you could only bring one item each, which one of you would cave first and attempt to eat the other, and how long would it take for that to happen? So the item is complete. It doesn't matter what item you bring. That's the main purpose of this question. It doesn't matter what you bring. So I'm going to bring, like, a knife and fork. Because I can get a really, really strong coconut and bonk you over the head with it. So I just need the knife and fork. Because I'm not an animal. I'm civilized.
Okay. So let me get this straight, fucker. You would take a knife and a fork, and instead of stabbing me with the knife, you'd hit me with a coconut.
Well, Alex, I gotta knock you out before I get you. I'm not an animal.
Stab me. Also,
because that would hurt.
Okay. So here's what I would bring. I got a gun. I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this joke, and I didn't think I would today. Okay. So real thing, I would probably bring... I bring my phone so I could play Fate on the go.
Here's the secret answer. If everyone ever asks you, like, what's the one thing you would bring? You bring a Christmas tree. Because then Santa Claus has to come by and you can hitch a ride back home. Think about it.
I've never heard that answer.
That's because I just thought of it now, and it's genius.
Okay, because that is a good answer. My one item I'd bring, I don't fucking know, a fucking axe so I could chop him up and eat him. Let's see, I'd probably honestly not eat Tad, because Tad's fat and gross, and I don't want to put him in my mouth. Sorry, but I'm a little too high class for that form of cannibalism, thank you.
So, yeah. So that'll do it. Some good questions this month. I look forward to the ones for January at the end of our first month of 2018. So once again, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to some of our Patreon backers here. I've got Phil the Muffin, and that's P-H-I-L, not filling a muffin. And then I got Jonah, Sean Dunsmore, and Decaf Galange? I think it's Galong. Alex, you have some as well. They're in Discord.
Oh, wait, what? Holy fuck. Lavender Sheepy, Lors the Knife, No Two Hands, and Alba.
For some reason, Alba always ends up being the last name. I put it into a randomizer, but Alba always gets last place.
That's just because he's not cool enough to be in the top fucking three.
Yep, that's true. So... once again, I want to thank you guys for listening on in. You can find the podcast there on YouTube, iTunes, and Google Play. You can find all the links to those on the website, which is lmtya.com, or let me tell you about .moe. You can find us on Twitter at letmetellyoupd, and you can send emails on into the show at letmetellyouabout@gmail.com. That's letmetellyouabout with 3 T's. And you can submit your own question of the month if you back at the $2 and above on our Patreon. Oh, and also check out the Discord, because in January or February, Hive Swap Act 2 is going to come out, and we're going to announce on there and the Twitter and all that shit when we're planning to stream that. So until then, I hate Homestuck, and I hate you, Alex.
And Attila is the best fake girl.